girl thing, so I'll say, hey, P-Sam. Let's all say, hey, P-Sam, we love you. Hey, P-Sam, we love you. We love you. P-Sam's in New York right now preaching at SP New York, and hopefully he comes back and his jet lag's not too bad because we need him. I think this is okay now? Okay, good. Everybody can hear me? Okay. I talk loud anyways. That's maybe too loud. Hold it down here. It's okay. Me and Christine have been here for about 3 months now. Haven't had a chance to meet all of you yet. So again, today at this infamous cookie stand, right? I guess I'll be filling in today. Please come by, say hello. I know some of you have even been in SP for like 2 years or 3 years, or you joined as soon as me and Christine left. So we'd love to get to know you. I've had a pleasure to get to know so many new faces throughout the last 3 months, and we feel like the bonds are so tight, and God's doing something in this community, and to be just plugged right back in, it's awesome. And that's kind of leading into, I think, what God has on my heart this morning and during this week. Last week, P-Sam was preaching about reconciliation. He mentioned that, you know, we were at the SP Hong Kong retreat, and it was this big community, and there was like a atmosphere there and all these things. And when I thought about it, I actually realized that that's how I feel about you guys. You know, 5 years ago, coming as a non-believer, coming into my first service here, which was at 50 Mac, I remember walking in, basically like I walked in and everyone did this. Who's that guy? Because there was 40 people and everyone knew each other. And I didn't know anyone. And so I thought, well, this could be really awkward and this could be really weird. And I felt for a second like, did I make the right choice? Like, maybe I shouldn't be here. But anyways, the welcoming team brought me in. I remember I sat right at the back by myself, listened to the sermon. And then after the sermon, it was actually, I remember Jeremy coming up to me and just welcoming me and saying, hey, why don't you come over to my place on Friday? You know, like we meet and stuff. And I thought, why is this stranger inviting me to his house? And then I thought, well, yeah, I guess I'll go because I guess that's what, you know, church people do. It was I was a two-week-old Christian at the time, and I remember going on that first Friday, and I never stopped. I never stopped since. So it's been such an amazing journey, and I think today the message is on fellowship. That's the message I feel that God throughout the week wants us to focus on is how are we fellowshipping? What do we think fellowship is? And just going through some of the scripture that outlines what God's trying to do through fellowship, and then how do we take part? So why don't we just go through today's verses? If you guys can open up your Bibles, your apps, you can even look on the screen. We're going to Acts 2, verses 36 to 47. Acts 2, verses 36 to 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you for an amazing worship this morning, Lord, where we could just praise you, honor you, God, just to give you all the glory, Lord. And we're here as your children, Lord, needing to receive your word, needing to know your heart more, God. Please just quiet ourselves down, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning, Lord. I stand here just as your servant, just as your child, Lord God. Use me as a mouthpiece to convey your message to us this morning, Lord. And God, let it resonate. Let it stick with us. Let it be the food to our soul, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of today's sermon is The Fellowship of the Believers. That's a pretty awesome title, right? Because it's literally the subtitle out of the Bible. So it's the perfect, it's literally the perfect title, The Fellowship of the Believers. And going into the verses to give you some context, this is referring to the account of the day of Pentecost. That was when the 12 apostles were hit with the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. And the crowd that witnessed it could all hear their own languages being spoken. And they were like, whoa, what is this? What's going on? And they were just amazed at this moment where God had just really threw the Spirit over the entire crowd. And so as they were going through this, they came, and then they responded. They're like, what is going on? What is this? And so the apostle Peter then came out and shared this. So before we go into the verses again, I want to preface with this. I went through this passage this week, and I felt like the words out of the Bible were just like shooting at me. They're just jumping off the page. And I don't know if you've ever had that experience, and I wouldn't say I have it all the time. But going through this, it was like line after line, verse after verse, there was just these words that I felt that God was saying, we got to really look and seek and want to know what the word is telling us. And so today, yes, I have a deck and stuff, but today we're just going to be focusing on some verses and words. We're going to go through these verses and just see where God is speaking to us. And before we start, I just want you guys to really prepare your hearts. I want you to really think about what God is trying to speak to each of you. We all play different roles in this church. Fellowship is something we're all part of. And so as we go through this, through the scripture, God's got something for each of you. So I just want to put that out there now. I don't want to regret not just throwing that at the end. God's got a message for each of you today. So let's go into the first verse. So verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And so just like Jeremy was worshiping this morning, like this is the gospel, right? This is what Jesus did for us. This is what we live with every day. We live in grace. We live in his love. And oftentimes we just crucify him again and again and again. And we go through this life of making mistakes and covering up our sins. But actually, if we just look at the verse, it's something we have to connect with on a day-to-day. We should be waking up and thinking about God. We should be knowing in our hearts that, man, today is just a great day because of what God did, because of that sacrifice. And then everything else that we are faced with, any hurdle, any pain, all that stuff kind of just goes away because you remember, right? You remember what God did and that you could face anything in the future, right? So 36 is just setting the tone. We haven't even gotten to the fellowship part yet. 36 is just setting the tone of this is what, Peter has said to them, giving them the truth of the gospel. This is the response by the crowd, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Like so often, we just forget. Like how often are you cut to the heart? Do you feel so broken inside and feel, wow, I can't believe how much God has done in my life, how much God is moving, how blessed I am right now? When we think about God, sometimes we just think of him as, he's there in the background. I know he's there for me. I know he loves me. But like, look at this response of feeling cut to the heart, of really knowing that sacrifice was so deep, to knowing that he literally did it for all of us and that we never really think about it, right? We take a lot of time focusing on our day-to-day and our hearts are hardened and they don't yearn for God. The next line that you see that's bolded, it says, after they feel cut to the heart, then they ask the apostles, hey, brothers, what shall we do? Right? You're so moved by God, you're so cut by God that you would say, God, or the leaders that God has given me, what do I do? I don't even want to take a next step. I don't even want to do that next thing until I have guidance, until I get the wisdom, until I get the answer. And so that is their natural reaction here in the scripture. And so often we're here thinking we have the answer for everything. We think that we can go through and decide things on our own, and then if that doesn't work out, then we'll go to God. If the 100th thing that we try doesn't work, then we're like, okay, fine, God, then what is it? What is it that you want me to do? How am I going to get out of this jam? But you see here in the scripture, we need to have a heart that goes to God first. And when it says here they asked the apostles, that means God doesn't always speak to you directly. God uses the people around you. He uses the leaders that have been appointed to speak into your life. It's actually God speaking to you. And so we have to understand that. We have to understand that it's not always going to be this crazy thing where you hear God's voice and God is telling you. Sometimes you actually have to take a step back, go into your heart, and just receive what message God is giving you, regardless of whose mouth it's coming from. I know that's weird. I'm saying that as I preach, but yeah, you know, that's the thing. And so here you can see that there's so much trust in that. There's so much trust in their question of asking what to do next. It's not a matter of them saying, oh, you know, I kind of think I want to do this, but do you think it's okay? A lot of times we want to pose these questions out there, and we don't actually want the answer. We're scared to hear the answer, and even if we do, we don't want to follow. And so, going on to the next slide, does your heart break for Jesus every day? I know that's deep for like a first point here. But really, does your heart turn to Jesus every day? Does your face even turn to God every day when you wake up? Is that what's on your mind, on your heart before you do anything? And how can we know what we're supposed to do each day if we didn't ask? Would it be that we're just defined by our job or our roles or, you know, whatever is on the to-do list that we've planned out? And so this is the first step of, you know, like I mentioned, we're going to get into the fellowship message, but where your heart is at, that's where it starts. Your heart's not right. It's really difficult to move with God, to serve alongside God, to be amongst brothers and sisters, to see us come together and rise and do what God wants us to do. It's hard for us to receive the blessings that God has in store if our hearts are not in the right place. And so think about what you want out of each day. Is it more alone time? Is it, you know, an easier day at work? Is it landing that next big deal? Is it hoping that your kid, you know, recovers from that runny nose, which Esther has? You know, are those the things on top of mind? Is that what we're focused on each day, thinking that, man, I got to pray for this. It's an urgent prayer request. I need to ask for these things because I need it to go away. But ultimately, what if those things hung around for a bit longer? It wouldn't really matter because God would have it in control anyways. A cold for a day, a cold for 3 days, another, this time that would pass. But it always comes down to our heart. What is stirring in your heart? Is it your day-to-day life and activities, or is it God? And so that's the first point of today's message is we can't do fellowship unless our hearts are right. And so let's move on to the next slide. So the crowd asked Peter, what should they do? And here's Peter's response. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know last week, actually, P. Sam had also touched on repentance. The scary word of repentance, right? We're always like, oh, I don't think I need to repent. Like, don't tell me to repent. We always look at it as a negative. And repentance, if you remember what P. Sam said last week, is it's turning away. It's literally saying, I don't want to walk this way of sin in the darkness. I just want to turn away from it. We're always so confused that we think it means saying I'm sorry. It's like, repentance means turning away, but we say, oh, sorry, I sinned, but I'm going to do it again, and I'm sorry. And we keep walking towards the darkness, but that is not what repentance means. You know, we honestly, as a group of believers, and there might be some people of new faith in the room, maybe some long-term, we got to start explaining what repentance means. People are, like, scared of it, think it's negative, feel like they're being judged. It's simply turning away, and it's a blessing. Repentance is such a blessing because God gives us a way out. That way out is just turning to him. So repentance for me, it's like, man, I'm such a sinful person. We're all such sinful people. And then God, who loves us so much, allows us to escape the darkness, to break the chains by just repenting. That's all we got to do. And then God helps take care of the rest. And so repenting, Peter says here, repent and be baptized. And so we saw even from, our baptism service this year, it's just super powerful stuff that God does. And as you repent and you get closer to God and you meet God and you give your life to God, man, it's like God just fills you back with so much more, literally taking care of every aspect of your life if you'd let him. And so you see here, going through this on the last line, and then on top of that, he knows that it's so difficult to repent, it's so difficult to walk away from our sins, that he says, you know what? I'm going to give you another secret weapon. Boom, Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to drive you, is going to stir you, is going to live in your heart, and it's going to pull you away from those things. Right? It's going to pull you away from the world. It's going to pull you away from the enemy. And so that's how, difficult God knows it is to live in this life, to come to him, to repent, to make that stand to say, you know what, I am going to turn away from it. And so it's the Holy Spirit that he gives us as the greatest gift to say, hey, I'm always going to be living with you, moving you, and leading you. And so we should break this talk that we may ever have of saying, I don't think God's with me. I don't feel God. I don't think God loves me. I don't think God cares about me. God gave you the Holy Spirit, right? God is living inside each of us. And so God's always with us. It's just a matter of, again, where our hearts are at. Do we want it? Do we want the Holy Spirit to minister us? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to minister us? So even right now, as you kind of digest that, just think about that in your own walk right now. The things that you're challenged with, the things that you're battling. Are you throwing away this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit that's trying to do wonders in your life? Right? And then let's go on to the next slide. This probably will hit home with a lot of us. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off. Like, moving with God and asking God, what do I do next? What are the steps next? He's actually saying, follow me, and I'll take care of everything you care about. We all care about ourselves. Let's face it, we're selfish people. And especially in this community, we care about our children, right? We are the ones setting the tone, the example, the walks with our children. And God is saying, yeah, the promise is for them too. But if we're just kind of in our own world, if we're not allowing God to follow, we're not asking and seeking, why do we expect that to happen with our kids? You know, I told myself, okay, yeah, I'm CM pastor. I shouldn't make a CM plug, but I'll make this slight plug on this page just because the word children's bolded. God has this promise for all of us. The ones we love, our children, and I'll even get to the word that says they're the far off. But let's just focus on children for a second. God has that promise already for us. We know that. But what do we do as parents and even as just a community to help guide our children along that path, to get them closer to God, to walk them towards God, to lead them to God? You know how we do that? It's by living it ourselves. That we let God lead us, and as our kids follow us, we're just all going towards God. Doesn't matter if you're a parent or not, it's just, could be anyone around you, your closest friends, anyone that you have in your life that you wish, God, would you touch them? That common prayer request for that one friend, family member that you're like, God, I just wish somehow, some way, Lord, that you would reach them, that you would touch them, that you would save them. And we just sit back and we think the prayer is enough. We actually have to walk it. You got to lead it. You got to lead those people by doing what God tells us to do. And here, as you see in this last two verses, repent. Let the Holy Spirit move you. Ask. Ask first what you should do, and then move. And then you'll see this line of just the flood of people, because it's God's promise already that we're going to get to here. The far off is another one, too, that when it comes to our own mindset, the ones that are far off, that's the one, that's the dude that you're like, there's no way God's forgiving that guy. There's no way. That guy's so bad. Or this girl, I don't know about this girl. Like, I don't even know how God's going to forgive that. We have people in our life that we say that those horrible things to. We should repent. But we say those things too. But God is saying the promise is for them too. The promise is also for the far off. And so who are we? We don't know where God's heart's at. We don't know how God's going to do it. But the promise is clear of who's going to be involved. But now it's our part to walk with God instead of just saying, hey, God, you do everything. I'm going to sit back here and I'll just, you know, kind of pray now and then when I have time. We have to actually move with the Spirit, move with God so that we can take on, you know, the work. We can carry our cross every day and actually see these things happen, right? So you can even imagine, even for myself too, I can say this, like, you know, if I pray for my parents, I really hope my parents will meet. I really hope my parents-in-law will meet God. And I could pray for years, right? You know, as you heard, I've been a believer for 5 years. So for years, this prayer goes on and on and on. But I know that that's God's promise. But at the same time, I do have a responsibility as well. I do have a responsibility, and that is to listen to God and to follow him at all times. That he would hear my prayers, but then he would also move me. He would also move me as well to help this thing go. Because God loves us so much, right? God's trying to show us his love, but sometimes we block it. And so I'll go on to the next slide, which is there's so much more at stake than what inconveniences you. Our children, the far off. There's so much more that's at stake. There's so much more that's important in God's kingdom, even in our lives, than the things that we tend to focus on, right? We're too tired. I forgot, you know, I don't feel well, I'm too busy, you know, I'm too stressed. All these things that we say, you know what, I don't have time to go to God. I didn't have time to pray, didn't have time to do that devotional, didn't have time to pray over my kids, didn't have time. All these things that we are saying, you know what, my life is too busy for you, God. Man, you guys don't understand the consequences. You don't understand the prolonging. And we understand, like, everything is in God's time, but we have a choice. We have a choice to run towards God or say, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to stand here and I'm going to hope that God just takes care of everything. And God has never told us to stand still. God has never said, I'm going to do everything and you're going to do absolutely nothing, right? Because his main rule is that we're supposed to love him. If we love him, then we'll respond. If we love them, then we'll move with him. We'll join his army, and we'll go together, right? And so you have to really think about this. We read the Bible every day. We go through these verses, and we just think that it's just so nonchalant. Like, yeah, it's okay. You know, sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. Like, there's so much more at stake There's so much more going on around you than you think. And the things that you're focused on, that you're pumping 40, 50, 60 hours into at time, or you're saying to yourself, I just want that hour to, you know, I don't know, watch Netflix or go on a jog or do something. Maybe it only takes that 1 hour a day, that 5 minutes a day to just give it up to God, to surrender it to God and say, what do you need me to do? You remember the prayer request that I gave you, and what do I need to do to help get there? And so there's so much more at stake. Let's go to the next verse. So verse 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. With many other words, which I know, like, yeah, we tend to say, hey, if we're ministering to people or talking to people or meeting with people, like, don't say too much because, like, then you might, like, talk their ear off and they'll get, like, discouraged. But here you can see, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded. Warned and pleaded. Those words have emotion behind it, right? Like, a warning and pleading is almost saying, like, we have to do this, right? Like, you have to do this. He warned and pleaded with them, saying, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And I think we've all been there, like, when we're, you know, whether it's house church, whether we're in, you know, we're meeting friends, whenever we're in these kind of, you know, social circles, or even if it's church circles, we'll find ourselves being kind of reserved, right? Like, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't really want, I feel like, you know, this person might feel kind of, you know, judged, right? God forbid they'll feel judged if I say this. And so what we really need to do is we need to kind of move from that personal judgment, right, into spiritual boldness. Spiritual boldness means, like, you say these things and you know because God has your back. It's you know it's biblically sound, you can feel the Spirit moving you, you know that you need to deliver this message. It might be awkward, you throw that away. It might feel weird, you throw that away. And you let God move, and you can even tell when these things happen because it's unplanned, you don't even know what you're saying, you don't remember because God is using you as a tool, as a mouthpiece to communicate something to another person they love. And for all of us have received the message from someone before, an unfavorable one. Maybe we felt like, who are you to say this to me? Who are you to know? How do you know? How do you know about this? The thing is when we start to mix up spiritual boldness and personal judgment, then that happens. But if you are seeking God, letting the Holy Spirit minister you, asking God what to say, what to do, then you eliminate that. Then that doesn't happen. But how many of us, when we go into these conversations, are doing that? And so you're going to have times where it doesn't go so well, right? You're going to have times where, like, it just kind of blows up. And so we need to also figure out, how do you receive messages of warnings and pleading from people? How do we receive that? The thing is when we first take it, it might feel like crap. It might be like, again, like what I said, I don't want to hear this right now. I don't agree. I don't think so. And the person may say, you know, hopefully that, you know, they prayed, they really feel this, they feel this message, and they've just delivered it. At that time, the only thing you need to know and feel is that doesn't matter how you feel about the person communicated, you just need to know that God loves you. That is the relationship. Doesn't matter if you get along great with the person or not who gave you the message. That is very secondary. The first thing that you need to know is God might be speaking to you, and it's always out of love. Are you willing to receive that or not? Are you willing to open up your heart and consider it, that it could be God giving you a message out of love? And so that is really a huge thing because, you know, all of us, we want to react quickly. We want to put up our defenses at times. And that's okay because we all do that. But you miss that opportunity to receive God's love. And God's love may come in what seems to be a harsh way. But for your soul, for your walk, for your identity in Christ, it's huge. is massive. And there's so much behind it that will come as well. So if we cut it off at the beginning, if we're reluctant at the beginning, if we put up a wall and a blockage at the beginning, we're essentially just saying, telling God, I don't really need your love. I don't need your message. I don't need your reminder. Right? So we need to really look at it from both sides. When you're the one giving the message and when you're the one receiving the message, are you seeking God? Is the Holy Spirit present? And are you willing to let God love you? That's all it is. Nothing more. It's not a personal vendetta. It's not because, you know, someone has a beef with you or doesn't like you or has it all this. We turn it into that. It's all about God trying to speak to you somehow, some way, and whether or not you're willing to do that. So let's move on to the next one. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000. Remember we went back, like everyone, how many people in this room? Probably like 100, right? 100, 120 people. You've all got like one or two people, maybe three, maybe five, maybe 10 people that you wish that God, again, would just touch, that the Spirit would just fall on them. 3,000 people in one day. Can you just imagine that scene, right? Set it up again, right? People see the Holy Spirit moving. They're wondering like, oh, what do I do? Peter says, oh, repent, be baptized, right? Accept the Holy Spirit and move in that. 3,000 agree. 3,000 say, yes, I want some of that. 3,000 say, I want to choose God, right? And so we wonder here, like, I wonder when this is going to happen. I wonder if, are we ever going to grow? Is my friend ever going to get saved? All these things. 3,000 people. Everything is possible through God. And we forget about God's miracles because we say, well, God didn't put a miracle in my life today. God didn't do it right now. Well, we didn't also do everything God asked us to do. We weren't so immediate to say, yeah, I'll do that. I'll repent and be baptized, right? I'll reconcile with this person. We don't do these things. We don't have that kind of reaction all the time. And so we want God's, you know, miracles and blessings and all these things to come. And God is saying, I do them. I do them, I've done them, and I'm going to do more. And I want to do more, actually, within all of your lives. I want to show you more, but I can't. I can't actually show you more because you're not following and walking with me close enough. You're not seeking. You're not moving. You're not accepting what I'm telling you deep into your heart. And so that's the challenge, is that we need to get past the surface and actually go deeper into the Word. When we say, the Word is our living bread, we have to really own up to that and say, is it really? Is that what we're really coming to? Is that really what we want to read the Bible for? That ding that comes up that says, hey, time to read the Bible, or your Bible app gives you that notification. What are you going for that for? Are you really going to get fed to see some of this stuff happen in your life? And so really, the main message of these past couple of slides is move with the Spirit and do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. Die to yourself. Put yourself in harm's way for that person who doesn't know God. Take on that awkward moment, that awkward conversation, and just do it. Rip off, you know, we say like rip off the bandaid or rip off the scab and just go for it. The more timid we are about our faith, right? The more nervous we are to say, I love Jesus, God's amazing, how do we expect people to believe if we, as believers, don't really show that we believe? We don't believe by following what God tells us to do, and we also are not bold enough to say, yes, Jesus loves you as well. Yes, when I say I accept Jesus as my Savior, it's because he's actually leading all aspects of my life. We need to be more bold with our faith. We need to stop relying on God himself and saying, hey, you got to cover all this stuff for me. Move with him. That's the biggest thing. We're a family. We should be moving together, and we should not shy away from everything God has done in our life. We gotta we should all have a megaphone, and we should just be shouting to the world, to the heavens, to the skies, who God is. And then see how God responds to that outpouring. It's difficult to only praise God on Sundays during worship. It's not enough. Because we're all in here worshiping God. You gotta worship God outside. You gotta praise God in front of people who don't even know who God is. Right? And so it comes to a point for us where, are we willing to take that step for God? Are we willing to say, you know what? This is super weird and difficult, but God, you know what? I just want to honor you in this. I'm going to do it through your Holy Spirit. My only audience is you, and I don't even care what the results are. One thing that a pastor told me before is, when you minister to people, when you minister to someone, when you talk to someone about God, and they reject it immediately, and you feel like, oh man, that was like not the right time. I don't think I should have did that. I think they're like probably turning further away from God now, and they just think I'm crazy. And I realize that from what this pastor is telling me is that you could just be in the line of events that God has already predetermined, and this person's going to need 10 people to preach the gospel to him before he accepts, and you're just the third. And that 10th time might happen in 10 years. But if you weren't the third person, right, because you knew it was going to take 10 people to get there, and you were the third one, you were discouraged, and you didn't want to do it anymore, and you thought this is a waste of time, you don't know what's a waste of time. But if you're moving with God, and you do it for God, and you put the results in God's hands, then you just keep moving, right? You shouldn't be doing things for God because you expect a result. You expect something to happen on your time. You should be moving in what we call, right, faith. We should have a totally new faith and hope as we act on things. And so I really want to encourage you too. Like, you know, going back to myself, because obviously that's what I can speak about most clearly. But yeah, 5 years ago, I didn't know God. I had a wife who was praying for me. I had a church in Korea that was praying for me who I didn't even know. I didn't know them, but they were praying for me every week. They kept praying. They never even met me. They just kept praying for me. And I only found out after I got saved that all this was going on. They just moved in faith. They just had hope that God would be working with them, moving with them, and that they would just pray out of faith and see what happens. And I'm so thankful for that, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for their prayers. I wouldn't be here if my wife, you know, didn't pray all the time for me during that period. And so you don't know what that conversation is doing for someone. You don't know what that where God takes that conversation and does the next thing. And so you got to stop. You got to humble yourself. You got to stop thinking that you're the answer for everything, and just know you're part of God's process, part of God's kingdom, part of God's story. We're all part of God's story, but we just don't know which part. And so we have to move with the Spirit and do whatever it takes. Okay. So let's go into the next verse. We're actually just starting to get into fellowship. Sorry, I'm doing like a common SP thing where like the sermons have a very long intro and we haven't even touched on the topic. So we're going to get into fellowship now. That was like deep. It's like really quiet in here. Okay. So now let's get into fellowship. 42. So what did they do? So these people, 3,000 people, they get saved. They meet the Holy Spirit. They're like, oh my God, God's amazing. And then what do they do? What do these people do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone is focusing on bread, right? Because that's what we tend to do. Like house church, I know it's like, oh my God, what are you bringing this Friday for dinner? Oh, really? Are you really bringing that? Oh, okay. What about this, right? I remember there was like, I don't know if you guys know Jim Gaffigan. He's one of my favorite comedians. He talks about this in bread, and he's like, I bet when Jesus multiplied bread, it was garlic bread. Because he loves us so much, it had to be garlic bread. And maybe for the ones that were like needing to like come back to God, he'd give them like pumpernickel or something like super healthy. But yeah, you see here, you know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves, devoted, big word, huge word, devoted, devotion. That means, again, it's like you do whatever it takes, right? When you're devoted to something, if you're devoted to studying hard for an exam, or you're devoted to losing weight, I'm not, but if you are, it's difficult, right? Being devoted to something is not easy. It takes a lot of sacrifice, perseverance. You have to be intentional about it. Devotion is like, man, it's a scary word. It's a big, big word. But that's what they did. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Apostles' teaching. That doesn't say they devoted themselves to just hearing from God, right? It was the apostles. It was the leaders that God appointed in their life. And they devoted themselves to that teaching. That's huge. That is just that wanting to hear from your leaders more, yearning, knowing that it's going to be difficult, knowing that, you know what, sometimes I might not understand the teaching, sometimes I might not get it, but I'm devoted to this. I'm in. I'm 1,000% in on this. And nothing is going to break me apart from doing this. That is what devotion means. And so you see here, where is our heart when it comes to fellowship? Doesn't mean just house church, right? Maybe not all of us are in a house. It doesn't mean just house church. It just means when you get together with all of us, brothers and sisters, where is our heart at? How many reschedules are you doing? How many reschedules are you doing? How many times are you, you know, bailing at the last minute, or coming so distracted, or spending the entire conversation looking at your phone? That's not devotion. That's not wanting to be taught anything. That's not being committed to fellowship. That's just being a warm physical body, right? And so we really need to have a gut check and say, when God is asking us to come together, giving us this example of how fellowship truly is carried out, what is our definition of fellowship? What are we doing? And so is it like pulling teeth trying to get people to come together? Do you feel that pressure yourself of saying, man, I really just don't want to go. I just feel tired. I just want some time alone. I just don't think it's worthwhile. And so you have to really think about that, because you're going to see in the next verses too just what God's intention was. If you knew what God was trying to do through fellowship and not just through the example of them being devoted, then maybe it will start to change your heart on what it is. It's not just party time and really great appetizers, although we get that here in Singapore. But there's so much more. There's so much more. It's like I joke by saying, and I've done this too, so I'm totally, totally guilty of this, but I have said, yeah, I'm wondering what we're having for dinner on Friday. But how many times in our mind is like, man, I wonder what prayer God came through on this week. I wonder what the praise report is this week. I wonder who really needs extra prayer tonight. Who needs that? I really want to know. Maybe I should. But we're like, man, I hope it's Korean food tonight. I hope it's Korean food. You see, it's different. It's totally different where our heart's at. And the words coming out of our mouth, the questions coming into our minds, it's just such a display of where our heart's at. And we need to have like a bit of a gut check and a reality check on that. And so it takes effort, openness, and purpose through a humbled heart to start to really fellowship. Right? And so I know some of these words are also difficult too, but an openness. You know, I think when it talked about the crowd in the previous verse about they were devoting themselves to hearing from the apostles' teaching, they had never really heard the teaching before, right? They never wanted the teaching before. But they're so open to it, to hearing something for the first time and saying, you know what? I want to get this. I want to know this. I want to receive this. And so when you guys are meeting with one another, again, whether it's, you know, at a cafe or if it's at house church or even if it's at mingling after church, how open are you to that, you know, to coming together and really opening up and communicating to one another, to being family, to being brothers and sisters together? Or is it very on the surface? Is it just like a, hey, bye, hope you're doing good, gotta go, bye? And usually it's then food related. I gotta go for lunch because we're having this awesome lunch, right? So that openness is also really, really big. Because you can't get deep into people's lives. You can't walk with someone close enough if you're not open. If you're not open to letting people come in, and you're not open to stretching out a hand and saying, hey, I'm here for you. And so this openness is what really starts to get the Holy Spirit moving in your heart. Because with a closed heart and a clamped heart, the Holy Spirit can't do anything. So it's this opening of your heart, your mind. It's throwing away the things that you're holding so tight to and saying, hey, I'm gonna give this a try. I'm gonna do this the way that God is showing us to do it. And through a humbled heart is a big one too. I mean, I touched on it briefly, but again, you know, if we're also not humble, if we're also sort of, you know, making everything about us, about how we know more, how we cook better, how we do all these things, fellowship just goes down the drain. Because we have to treat everybody equally. We have to really come together and say, we're just in this together. There's no order in God's view. We're just all God's children. And so have that in your mind. Doesn't matter what your job is, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't necessarily in this context matter what your skills are. You're just God's children getting together. Right? And so let's go into the next verse. Yeah, 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And so these are the things that we all want, as I mentioned. We want to see the wonders and signs, right? We sang this song that Yumi led today about the wonders of God, right? About God, fill me up so that I could love others. Fill me up with your love so that I could show that to others. That was what we were worshiping this morning. And this is it, right? It's like God wants everyone to be filled with the Spirit and to be in awe of all the things he can do. But we're so focused on the things that we can do. We're so focused on what we're great at. We're so focused to share things that are going great in my life and things that I was able to overcome and I was able to do. And we are like, oh yeah, that's really good. It's great. But it will not have the effect of God's wonders and awes coming over us and just blowing our minds. And we should want more of these moments with God where God can just blow our minds. But we just take these little tidbits of, like, you know, it's like eating goldfish crackers. Like, we just take a bit, like, yeah, it's yummy. It's okay. It's kind of good. And we're like, oh, it's not so good. And I haven't had it for a while, and I'll have goldfish. You're like, God wants to give you like a buffet, you know, we just stick on the food thing. God wants to like blow your minds with the things that he can do. But we're just so accepting of these little things. And then God is like, that is like so minuscule of the things I want to do in your life. That is so minuscule in the things that I have in terms of the purpose for this church. It's like goldfish crackers, come on. God's like, you guys mean more than goldfish crackers to me. I want to do huge things. But we all got to be filled. We got to be filled. We got to be devoted, right? We got to be intentional with it. And then this is when the wonders and the awes come. And so, next slide. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Yeah, you know, I kind of hit on this with us all being on an equal playing field and being together. But it just comes down to that quality connection with one another. You could spend so much time together. We could be in the same church for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and not know anything about one another. That breaks God's heart. That breaks God's heart. God wants us to have communion with each other, not just with him, but with each other. And being together may mean different things for you, but when God is saying, come together or be together, he expects us to have that open dialogue. He expects us to be walking together, not having 100 people walk individually, only sharing tidbits and key main points of what's going on in their life. He actually wants us getting our hands dirty together, moving together, being common, taking on the pain, right? You meet someone who's going through a tough time. I think all of us have challenges in our life now that we really need God to help us through. And does our heart really break for one another? Or are we just like, ooh, I'm glad that that's not happening to me because, man, I wouldn't be able to handle that. And so we have to really figure out, what does God mean by having everything in common? It means having the same heart, feeling the same things, putting yourself in that person's shoes and coming down to their level and saying, hey, I get you. I'm with you on this. I'm together with you on this. And we're going to get through this with God together. That's really different than saying, if I have time, I'll pray for you. And I won't follow up. And I won't ask you again, but I just hope things go well. And I'll see you on Sunday. We got to step up. We got to step up and really start to be there for one another as God's children, as God has designed this family to be. And so before we think about a bunch of different, you know, logistics and things and all that stuff, it's just this first, coming down on a level where we can actually love one another and be there for one another. You will see God do way more things if we do that than a bigger building, than more lights in the room, than a fancier guitar. If you just threw all those things away and spent more quality time really, truly loving each other and getting into the walk with one another, you'd start to see God in ways that you had never experienced. And so, 45, they sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. This is also, you know, quite huge. And this is just the sacrifices, right? I know, okay, 11:37, I know it's coming. But this is the things that they did, right? This is the things they were willing to sacrifice and give up. Sell everything they had to become equal. Everyone who had a need, they just said, you know what? It doesn't matter because we got God. God's going to provide anything, everything that we need. But if we have more right now, let's just do that. And don't get me wrong. This verse is up here, but this isn't just applying to money. This isn't just applying to money. This is applying to time. This is applying to heart. This is applying to so many other things, teachings, walking. It's not just about being able to hand over $50. Really, what this means when it says that they were giving up their possessions to those in need, it's giving up the things that are hard to give. So yeah, maybe for some of us it is money that's hard to give. But for some of us it's time. We just don't want to give up our own free time to help those that are in need. And that's, again, what God is telling us this morning. And so, going to the next point, in the previous slide I said it takes effort, openness, and purpose through a humbled heart to experience the true joy, power, and blessing of fellowship, of God's fellowship. And so, let's go into the last couple verses here. 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day they met together. And where did they meet? They met in the temple courts or they broke bread in homes. Bowling night, we can say it's fellowship. Maybe it is. Maybe bowling night's fellowship. But these guys, these 3,000 people are meeting in the temple courts, holy places, and at home. And so we have to think about that too. Where are we putting ourselves in an environment to fellowship properly? Are we just calling everything fellowship? Right? Look at what they're doing when they fellowship. They, you know, they pray for each other. They're there for one another. They're devoted to it. And so we actually have to start to think about where we fellowship. Because it's clear in the scripture where they did it. And we also do it in these places, but we have to be clear about those intentions. And having glad and sincere hearts, again, if we're dragging ourselves to house church, if we're dragging ourselves to church events and saying, well, I didn't go to any barbecues this year, so I better click my quota for at least one barbecue a year. It's like not the right heart. Someone really maybe needs you to be there. God needs you to show up to speak to that one person that you would have never thought you would have bumped into because that person spilt Coke on you and you end up talking to them for 30 minutes. You miss out on all that because you decide for yourself it's not worthwhile. How do you know what God's going to do? How do you know where God's trying to take you? You don't. So you have to take that leap of faith and just be encouraged by him and say, you know what? It will be worth it. It'll be totally worth it if I pick myself up, give up my time, and go and do this. And so lastly, this is what they did when they came together. They praised God, and they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily who were being saved. They came together, and they praised God, and they enjoyed the favor of all the people. They weren't jealous of one another. They weren't wishing that blessing came my way. They weren't annoyed with one another. I mean, maybe they were, but it was, you know, so much on the low scale that their devotion to fellowship was so much stronger that being annoying, having kids crying, some people have to go to sleep early, all that stuff didn't matter because they're so devoted to fellowship, to doing, to praising God properly, to being there together, to actually letting God move in their spirit. That all this stuff that a lot of times we talk about, it's not that they didn't have it. Come on, 3,000 people? Of course they had it. But that's how much of just noise and how small it is in the bigger perspective of things. That's how small it is when you look at fellowship. That stuff doesn't even matter. They don't even mention it. It's not even a footnote. Because it should be, we should already know that we have to step up over beyond that. You got to get over those hurdles so that you can actually receive the true, true gift from God. And so, it's coming to an end, guys. Sorry. So let's just go to this last slide. Fellowship is more than friendship, and it's supernatural. It's more than friendship. That's the thing that I think a lot of us confuse. That we are being good friends by, you know, not saying too much or not trying to nudge people towards God or not, you know, not praying because we don't want to overpray. It's a supernatural thing, fellowship. Getting a group of people who would never be together. That is my experience with SP. I remember coming into house church, 30 people of the most random mix of people thinking, how do these guys meet every week? Like, their personalities are different, different backgrounds. Like, but somehow I was like, wow, they actually all come together. They pray, they love one another, they're genuine. And then I see three and a half years later, like the size of the room now, I'm like, wow, like it's crazy what God is doing through this. And so it's not about friendship. I don't know if somewhere along the line it became friendship for you guys, but fellowship is something that God does. It's something that only God can enrich in. It can't be through us. It's not because of, you know, like I said, all these things that we want to add to it. It's just following and knowing where God is going to show up. God is going to show up when we're doing these things, when we're devoted, when we pray, when we praise him, when we do all these things. And so don't get that confused. It's not about
coming to a barbecue. It's not just about coming to a barbecue, right? I think for a lot of us, we're beyond that. Let's turn that barbecue into encounters with God, right? That's the theme of this year, is encountering God. We should be encountering God during fellowship every time. Every time. And so, yeah, I just want to make this clear. And so I'll put up this last slide, and then let's invite the worship team to come up, is that we're in this together, and it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be awesome because God promised it already. And it's going to be us coming together, moving as one, and really seeing what God has in store for us. And it's really going to blow our minds. That's how much we won't be able to even fathom what he's going to do. And so the push today is, let's just be together. Let's take fellowship. Let's take our relationships. Let's take this time, this precious time of ours, and use it for something greater, something that God would just be so helpful in pushing through, and that God would be so happy about. Right? So let me invite the worship team to come up. Yeah, that's the right message. I want you guys to just think about today's message. Think about the times you've been together. Doesn't matter what position you're in, a member, a house church leader, it doesn't matter. It's just you spending time with other people in this room. What has that been like? Where were your hearts at before you even met up? Did you feel times that you were just too tired? Did you feel times that I think this is a waste of my time? I don't think this group of people are going to work for me. I maybe want to join a different group or hear something else, and you know what, I'm just going to distance myself. God is telling us, I've put you all together for a reason. This exact group, every one of us, by his design, by his choice, no one else's. Sure, you might have been invited here by someone, but that was God's will too. But this is it. This is us. This is us right now. We're here. And God wants us to be together. We talked about reconciliation last week. We talked about how there's some pain between us. Fellowship seems like the last thing we want to do. God is only the one, is the only one that's going to recover our hearts, that can take that pain away. And that's the first part of today's message was, are you willing to let God into your heart? Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit minister to you? To go into those pits of your heart and say, I know maybe that person didn't show you much love, but I love you. Is my love enough? Right? That's what God asks us every day. Am I enough for you? Am I enough for you to be healed? Am I enough for you to move past this, to forgive? Am I enough for you to take that next leap of faith? Even though there might be some scars, would you take another leap of faith with me? Because I'm there for you. You can imagine as a community coming together. If we take that leap of faith together, you know how high we're going to jump? You know how many blessings and wonders and healing that God is going to do in all of our lives? Stop walking alone. Stop putting it on the one or two closest people around you. They don't have the answers either. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to change. And so as we go into this song, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Who are maybe people in the room you need to speak with, pray with? And what is the next leap of faith God's asking you to take for the good of all of us? So worship team.
Worthy.